It's going to be a particularly nutty squirrel report tonight.
That's funny.
Because we have a lot of topics that we have no breather to keep us on them.
Oh, God. Oh, this ought to be good.
Yeah. So, get ready, everyone.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's, it's the guy's night out, I guess.
Woohoo!
We got the car, and...
Y'all hold my beer and watch this shit.
Weird's got the car.
All right. Well... Let's get it started. It's time for the Squirrel Report. Thursday, July 19th, 2012. Do you know where your kids are?
I do. Yeah,
they're upstairs.
They're sleeping.
I didn't make any yet.
No, one's reading and the other is brushing his teeth.
Well, that answers that question because you use the male pronoun.
Yep.
I got one of each.
So, anyway, like I was saying, it's all nuts tonight. So,
it's literally nuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huge ones.
And nothing but. So, anyway, let's, speaking of nuts, how about that suspicious package in San Francisco?
Yeah, he did.
That's pretty funny.
I actually just read that one. By the way, for someone who allegedly has one of the world's biggest penises, it is very, very difficult to find pictures that are not.
You'd think he'd be showing that shit off, man.
I know.
If you had the world's largest penis, wouldn't you like show everyone?
I'd have a fucking sign made up.
Well, my guess is that that he may make a little bit of side money, and so he does all that he can to suppress any pictures that you don't pay for.
Yeah, but still, damn.
But it's not like getting free porn is not my expertise.
Yeah, well, it's I just thought it was funny because it's in San Francisco, and well, it's San Francisco, right? So
yeah,
let's give the background to the story.
Yeah,
who wants to tell?
I'll do it since I brought it up. Apparently, there's this guy Jonah Falcon, who is actually from New York.
Totally sounds like a porn name.
I know it does. Anyway, he is the world record holder for the largest penis, reportedly 10 inches long when flaccid and 13 inches long when erect. So anyway, he's in San Francisco airport, and according to the quote that was on his Twitter page, TSA didn't know what to make of the massive bulge on my thigh.
And when they asked if that was a growth, he said, no, that's my dick.
It's always been here.
Exact quote.
Yes. Oh.
I was born this way.
Hilarious.
Yeah, he's got old Johnny Holmes beat by at least an inch.
So, I don't know. That's just
funny. It
now, really the big is. Question is, people call in. The call-in number is 214-530-0036. And the topic discussion will be, if John Holmes didn't do so much goddamn cocaine when he had the world's record biggest cock.
I don't know.
I thought it was AIDS that got John Holmes.
AIDS got John Holmes, yeah, but he only had AIDS for maybe 2 or 3 years. It was the booger sugar that he had all the time.
Hmm. That's an interesting question. I don't know. Perhaps we have a medical professional listening that can speak on this topic.
I will say that I heard, I don't know, it was a while back, but they were talking about the TSA, and somebody called in a radio show I was listening to, and mentioned that he knew somebody that either worked at Logan or worked for Logan TSA. I don't remember exactly, but he was saying that ever so often, someone gets flagged for additional screening, and the reason is because they've got a massive hog.
Huh.
So it's pretty common that they get curious with the.
So they see something big down there, and they figure, hey, he's probably smuggling something. No one can be that big.
You said this is Logan, so it's probably the TSA agents that they bring up from Provincetown.
Actually, he looked awfully
suspicious.
They want a closer
look. The last time I was in P-Town, I did not see a single black woman with 9-inch fingernails. Just saying.
Okay. Girl. On that note.
Oh, come on. Let's just make it a good TSA stereotype.
Yeah, it does.
I see. What about a woman with 6 cell phones in her purse?
All of them free.
I got 30 more at home. sorry.
Hey, we got a call.
Hey.
All right.
Let's see if this works. All right. Area code 480. You're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, just barely hearing him.
Try it again.
I'm here.
Hey, you're got your volume turned up in the background there, sounds like.
Yeah, I got it. Couldn't find the damn button.
Goddamn buttons.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
We're keeping our stick up. Been here a time or two before.
Is this Hank? Who is this?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I thought I recognized your voice.
Sounded like Hank.
Yeah, yeah. I hate my voice, you know? I got this nice picture of my voice in my head, which I always hear. And when I hear it outside of my head, I'm like, crap.
Yeah.
Is that me?
Yeah, I get the same thing.
Here. I think that happens to everyone.
You know, because you kind of think like, you know, well, I've got a pretty good voice. I sound pretty damn good. And then you hear the recording, you're like, who is that fucking loser? Exactly. Oh wait, that's me.
That would be JG from shorturl.com.
Formerly longurl.com. My URL so long. My URL was so long it got frisked by TSA.
Oh, good one.
Sir, it's not that we're concerned about that you're smuggling something. We just want to touch it a little.
We just want to show you who's boss by touching your hog.
I'm a huge fan of your work, Mr. Falcon.
So what do you think, Hank?
Oh, you know, life goes on. Everybody's happy, except we're not happy because the idiots are controlling our lives are not nice people. How's that for a concept?
Yeah.
That seems pretty fair.
Yep.
But now the question is, would John Holmes be as long as this guy if it wasn't for the booger sugar?
I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing here because I can't hear.
I think it's because Jay's evidently making a sack lunch for tomorrow.
Hey. Sack lunches don't make themselves. Rather funny, we talk about the guy with the huge hug and we're talking about a sack lunch.
That's another word.
Walk back over by the router, Jay.
I'm on the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
So it has nothing to do with the router.
Well, it sounds great.
Get closer to the cell tower, Jay.
Yeah.
Start scaling.
Oh, Lordy. So are you having trouble hearing us, Hank?
No, I'm pressing the headphone hard to my ear, so I'm doing better now.
Okay.
There you go. Oh, boy.
You're okay, Jay?
It's been... the library, and we can't count on her tonight.
Yep.
And she's like, you know, adds a whole bunch to the whole process, but now we have to, like, do stuff that past her. You know, we don't have her.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a little bit different tonight. Good Lord, Jay.
What are you doing, Jay?
Sorry. My bad.
You got That's this cute little mute button, Jay. What you
yeah,
can do
well,
is
that
like,
would involve having a free hand, and you know, I've been busy measuring because I think I'd give this guy a run. So, okay, no, I can't, but not even close. But anyway,
to quote Mr. Pink, am I the only professional here?
Oh, Lordy.
Apparently, there was a notion of talking about things that were happening and what we'd do about them. And do I have the right of that or what?
Which things are happening? I mean, there's a lot of things happening.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a whole bunch of little subjects that were going to be brought out, powdered out. And we were going to talk about them.
That's right.
So, do we have one of those we can trot out? And
well, we were just talking about one, but that was kind of the throwaway for the night. actually, the one I guess we wanted to talk about first was the guy in Florida at the Internet Cafe that proved that A, carry your damn gun, and B, you know, even a little 380 will make some hood rats stop what they're doing and run like scared little kids.
It kind of puts the whole caliber wars in perspective, doesn't
one
it?
One at a time.
Yeah, that's like the old guy that pulled out a 380 and showed the 19-year-old youngsters that maybe they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was totally, absolutely awesome.
Yep.
You know, the guy, I mean, he held off as long as he could, best I can tell from what I heard. And when he finally decided the situation was getting out of control, he said, I got to do something.
Yep.
And he did it, you know? And really, nobody wants to have to be in that situation. But here's the trick. We all need to be prepared to be in that situation because it could happen at any time. And that guy did it. He did it right.
And I didn't catch all of that, but...
And the 380 you have on you beats the 9mm at home every day.
That's right.
And hell, even a 25 caliber hole in my body is a hole that I'd rather not have added.
It's not supposed to be there.
That's right. I don't even have my ears pierced.
No tattoos, no piercings, no nothing. I like it that way.
Yeah, we're the last of dying breed, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that.
So.
Nope. I figure it won't be long before we're going to be the cool, edgy, hip ones. Oh, you have no tattoos? Really?
Hang on. Go ahead, Hank. You were saying?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the big topic here lately, I think, is what Barack Obama said about how none of us did anything. Somebody else did it for us. I think that is an excellent topic.
Yep. We're actually going to be talking about that a little later with, what's his name? The leather
Dennis.
Guy. Dennis, yeah.
Dennis from Dragon Leatherworks.
Dennis, who had a great post on that.
He took offense to President Obama's statement.
And with good reason.
Well, I'd say just about everyone took offense to President Obama's statement.
I didn't. I thought it was humorous. I thought a career politician who's done nothing but suckle at the public teat his entire fucking life, getting promoted through affirmative action and nothing else, not on his own merits, talking to us about how businesses didn't get built by people, they got built by the government, it's just fitting. It's so fitting
Obama,
for his presidency.
Obama would not know.
Well, it's also to speak of tattoos. I remember this was back in my LiveJournal days. I made a comment about somebody with a tramp stamp. I think I was talking about trendy tattoos and how essentially I consider them like people getting a polyester leisure suit sewn to their back.
Yeah, that's permanent.
Yeah, but the Somebody I went to college with who read my live journal chimed in and said, "I've got a tramp stamp, and I don't think it's slutty." And needless to say, I held my tongue about her reputation in college.
Well, I mean, come on, you know, there's being a slut's not all bad.
Oh no, God bless them.
I think what
I'm trying to say is the people that have the most to defend protest the most. And
well, that
Obama's lived his entire life. He's never formed a business. He's never done a payroll. He's never hired anybody. He's never worked directly under anybody. He's pretty much just gotten kind of the free ride of being either a mascot or a figurehead.
Which is why he can say with, you know, no doubt in his mind, I'm sure, that if you're successful, you didn't do it yourself. Because
right.
He's successful and he didn't do it himself.
Yep, and he hears about other people that say, "Well, I built this business from the ground up with my own two hands," and
right.
there might be a little jealousy or a little hubris in there.
Yep. Yeah. Well, see, he's never done it,
right,
and therefore it can't be done.
But
so
meanwhile,
you have to tear them down.
I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the pajama media guys. I think it was Scott Ott who was saying that. Was talking about there right now. The Democrats are trying to pin every mild fart that Bain Capital ever did was going through.
Yeah.
But pointing out that and pinning it to Mitt Romney. But remember, Mitt Romney didn't do it. The government did.
That's right.
Good one.
That's right.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling, Hank.
Yeah. Y'all. Have a good rest of the show.
All right.
Thanks, Hank.
We'll try.
Without Brita, we just kind of wander aimlessly.
Yeah, we'll just spaz around for a while.
Well, even more so.
Yeah. So anyway, back to that. Back to the guy in the internet cafe. I'm sure everybody saw the video.
Yep.
And if you didn't. You can find it
everywhere
because it's an awesome damn video.
Yeah, and it's someone on my blog was saying that I think it was Jack was saying that it's a textbook case and therefore we can learn from it. And one thing it kind of showed was that while all the greatest ninja training in the world and tactic coolness out there might be might be great and good, and I'm not going to knock it, but we're talking about an older guy who's he wasn't in horrible shape, but I guarantee he doesn't consider himself as spry as he was when he was in his 20s. He had a 380 in a pocket holster and didn't use any cover, didn't do any crazy shoulder rolls or backflips, no fast tactical reloads. Who knows what he was using for ammo? It might have been like George Zimmerman's ultra-cheap Seller and Bellow discount hollow points. And he did the whole thing. When he drew the gun, the pocket holster came out with it, and he just pulled it off and kept it in his hand. So he was doing it all one-handed when he had a free hand. And all that, but all of that is that both the bad guys got shot and
yep.
they left, and none of the good guys got hurt.
Falling all over themselves,
falling, yeah.
to leave
ass over tea kettle.
Yeah,
and
you know what that video needs? It needs Yakety Sax.
Yes, it
really
does.
Does.
Fucking right, it does.
It's just so bad. You just need to hear.
What was that website? Chance linked it a while back. Was a website where you can feed any.
I think Benny Hillinator or something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to dig that up. But because the video's on YouTube, so you can go and grab the YouTube file. And then feed it into the Benny Hillinator.
I like to couple of things I enjoyed from the video is, you know, in first place, the kids come in and you can tell they're kids. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not like 12, but they're not, you know, in their 20s either. They're young guys. And they're in, you know, they're doing the gangbanger thing and waving and, you know, you can't, of course, there's no audio. You can't hear what they're saying, but I'm sure they're slinging F-bombs and everything else. And you know, the reaction of the people in the place was kind of like, huh? You know, yeah. I mean, you can see them looking around going, what the fuck is happening here?
They weren't in condition white. They were in condition opaque.
Yeah, they were. I mean, the one guy put his hands up and everybody else was kind of looking around going,
What was the first thing they did? They took the bat and they went over and they smashed somebody's computer screen.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was a classic strong arm robbery. You had one guy who was breaking shit and one guy holding the gun.
Yep.
And I mean, that was my guess is they've done that before.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, I'd be surprised if they hadn't. And everybody's just kind of standing out with their thumb up their ass. And then Gramps gets up in the back and goes, fuck you. Bang, bang, bang.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the tough guy's swagger goes right out the fucking window.
Yep.
You go from, you know, we're the baddest ass motherfuckers to holy shit, please don't kill me.
Well, and that brings up two points. One is, you know, the gun you got is better than the one you don't got. And two is, you know, everybody poo-poos the 380, but, you know, nobody wants to get shot with one.
Yep.
So.
And you know, people point out that, well, you know, they were still, they weren't down, they weren't killed, they weren't this. Guess what? They stopped their aggression, didn't they?
They stopped and ran away, which is the point. I mean.
And that's the bottom line was the talking about the shoot to kill versus shoot to stop is, I mean, that's a textbook example of, of shoot to stop was, you know, he wasn't out to kill those boys.
We don't know.
Yeah. But if he really was out to kill him, he wouldn't have stopped when they left the shop.
Well, I think if he had pursued them out onto the street, still firing, I think he would have been in trouble.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but we're talking about if his intentions were to stop the attack versus kill them punk kids.
Because he stopped right at the door.
Yep.
As soon as they went out the door, he was done. And that right there is powerful. Because the stand your ground, all that bullshit that they sling, well, no. No, people that carry concealed weapons do not do it because they think they're Travis Bickle. They don't do it because they hate one particular race. They don't want to kill people. They just want to go home. Just like the cops, they just want to go home at the end of the day.
Yep, and there's another statement towards the whole duty to retreat is, you know, first up, where the hell is he going to retreat? Tucked in the corner of that little internet cafe. But also the bottom line is, if he did have an avenue to retreat, how do you think all those other people might feel about that? Is, all right, now there's guys waving guns around. And I've got to say that unless that gun was either unloaded or fake, I mean, it sounds like the gun was real.
Doesn't matter.
From all the reports. What I'm pointing out is if the gun was real and the gun was loaded and those guys were carrying on in that crowded internet cafe full of people that were shitting in their pants, if that guy hadn't have jumped up, I think the chances of it turning deadly, of the guy popping around off for some reason, would have gone through the roof because somebody would have freaked. I mean, you had that one woman that practically ran into the line of fire with her hands over her ears.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, she had no plan, no idea. I'm sure all that was going through her head was, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to me. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to me. And she almost got herself shot. And it doesn't matter if this is, you know, grandpa, I've run a box of ammo through the gun, you know, 5 years ago and I haven't touched it since, or, you know, or if he shoots master class at his local IPSC event, it doesn't matter. If somebody goes from a safe position and runs into your line of fire, what are you going to do? It's just like, you know, you're driving down the street, you know, 5 miles under the posted speed limit, and a kid runs out in front of your car.
Yep.
You're going to climb them. It just there's nothing you can do, you know, unless you're catching flies out of the air with your thumb and forefinger. It's just nobody
grasshopper
times like that. And so I mean, just the situation is someone that was going to go from a position of relative safety to very, very close to a position of danger. And of course, I don't know, because security camera videos are really, really tough to tell what the exact line of fire, what the exact.
Well, yeah, they're kind of, you know, the wide angle lens kind of distorts things.
Right.
Yeah.
And she may have been 5 or 6 feet away.
Right.
Yep. But it looks like she gets awful close to the line of fire. And certainly she goes from what looks like, you know, further from the line of fire, closer to the line of fire. And now transpose that to these guys experience nothing but dumbfounded people with no idea what the hell's going on. How you know, what are the chances of somebody doing something? Like, I mean, I saw the first time I watched the video, there's a guy sitting right out front, and he kind of puts one hand up, and then he starts putting his hand into his pocket, and I don't know what he's doing. At first I thought he was the guy who was going to pull the gun, but I'm like, he looks a little young. But all I was thinking was, oh, he's going for his pocket holster. And then you never see what's in his pocket, but he was going for something, whether it was he was going for his wallet so he could just be ready to hand it off as quickly as possible or what. But of course, also there comes the instance of, you know, the guys are, you know, yelling something, a bunch of people are sticking their hands up in the air, and one guy's fiddling around in his pocket. He could have gotten his ass shot. And so, needless to say, I'm saying
I was watching the video again. I'm sorry, I had to watch it again.
But the possibility of somebody getting killed in that situation with that many people in there, it's far too large, I think.
Yep. So, yeah, good shoot.
Good shoot, and thank goodness the guy didn't retreat.
Yep.
Yep.
Because one of those people who didn't need a gun, as the antis always say, who weren't paranoid, those people didn't get shot.
I wonder too. If there was discussion among the DA and assistant DA, do you think we ought to charge the guy? And they went, are you fucking kidding? 71 years. Was he a veteran?
Don't know.
Did I hear?
I don't think they gave any information about the guy.
Yeah. Even so, 71 years old.
In Florida.
You want to put this guy in front of a jury? Are you fucking nuts? They went, you got a better chance of sprouting wings and flying to the moon than getting a conviction on this.
Yep.
You see, because the thing is, all they're going to do is they're going to show you the first 20 seconds of that video just to establish, was he in fear for his life? Well, gee, you tell me. Two young punks come in. They start smashing shit. They're pointing a gun around. Yeah. Yeah, I think we can establish.
And you can see the fear on everybody else's eyes.
Yep.
So, you know what? Whatever this guy was feeling, you've got about 10 other people that are in plain sight that are very obviously about to fill their drawers.
And damn glad he had a gun that night.
And also, there's another big lesson to learn from this, which is if you're a criminal and you're in America, you might want to think about a different line of work.
You might not want to hold up places where elderly people congregate in Florida, where, as Dave Barry says, even the nuns are armed.
But it's not even Florida. I mean, you know, the permit numbers are way up here in Massachusetts. I mean, it's the permit numbers are up everywhere, and so it's one of those things. And these people aren't getting permits for their duck guns.
Yep.
Yep.
These people are concerned about personal protection and self defense, and it doesn't matter if you're in California, if you're in Massachusetts, if you're in Florida, if you're in Wisconsin, if you're in Rhode Island, every place.
Everywhere but Illinois.
Illinois is the only place where permits aren't up. And even in Illinois, you've got that guy that that shot the home invaders with his with an unregistered handgun, and they let him go.
Well, clearly, my advice to criminals is, drop the robbery and assault and burglary and stuff like that. Transition to white collar crime because, you know, you can do that all day long and
start a fake solar business.
As long as
billions of dollars as government,
as long as you're not, as long as you're not trying to rip off the government, you're probably okay. And make it, you know, like millions that you steal, not thousands, because, you know,
it adds up better.
You start a bank and steal a few billion dollars and, you know, you're too big to fail.
But also, I mean, this.
Oh, wait, you got to be a Democrat, too. Sorry.
Yeah.
You have to donate to Obama.
I guarantee both of these guys voted for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But my very serious point is this video is absolutely viral. This video is coming up everywhere. You don't think Mookie and some dude aren't, you know, haven't come across this video?
I don't know if they don't have a computer. Well, I guess they can play it on their cell phone that they got for free.
Yeah, I was going to say their free cell phone.
and just so you know, Mookie and some dude got lots of computers.
And that call-in number is 214-530-0036. Use it. Because, you know, come on.
Nobody wants to hear us for two whole hours.
No. Yeah, so that was – I love that one. In fact, I watched that video over and over and over again and just laughed my ass off the whole damn time. It was just – in fact, it's like when I'm feeling, you know, the last day or two when I'm – you know, it's when, like I'm sitting at work and I'm feeling – I'm feeling low.
When the bee stings.
Yeah, I play
– These are a few of my favorite things.
I play the video and it just perks me up, you know.
It does.
I love it.
Which perks you up more? The guys getting shot in Florida or the tumbling all over their ass to get out the door?
It was
or the woman who rides the rascal up the escalator.
Oh, I enjoyed that one too.
I am going to hell for that.
Okay, speaking of that.
All of you with me.
Okay,
no, you're not. That video is a prime example of stupid shit hurt.
Now, that one eats the Benny Hill fire.
Okay, I got a question. Okay, the news report said that she was unhurt and walked away.
Yep.
Why was she in a rascal?
Why was she riding the damn thing? She was just late.
Somebody chimed in Jay's comment section. Is the rascals are not for people who are non ambulatory?
Right.
You know the
people get winded easy like COPD.
Hell of shit! We got people calling in.
You go to Disney World. You're going to see a whole lot of people who can walk, but they have the rascal.
You go to 400 World,
pounds and they have a smoked turkey leg in their hand. And so
hey, let's take a call. Easier.
Oh boy, a call.
We have a call.
Yes. Area code 865.
865. Oh, that's Dennis calling in early.
Is it? Surely not. So. Area code 865. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Dennis calling in just a couple of minutes early.
A couple of minutes?
Told you. It's five minutes of Dennis.
Hey, let me put you on hold and take this other call real quick, Dennis.
Sure.
Okay. Let me take this one. Okay, area code 317.
Ooh, good Smith.
Hello, 317.
No, it's the Jack.
Oh, the Jack.
The Jack. I know that guy.
The Jack.
From Gumblogger Conspiracy.
Hey, Jack, you were the one that was that called the case textbook, right? Did I quote you right?
Yep.
That was you.
Cool.
Yeah, actually, I'm calling because I'm reminded about a contrasting case that JG reported about a couple of days ago in the guy that was killed from Knock 'Em Out in Chicago.
Oh, that guy.
That's a good story.
Well, it's interesting, the parallel, because you have one case where, in both cases, you have a group of teenage young men and an elderly guy.
Yep.
In one case, both parties have guns. In the other case, everyone's unarmed.
Yep.
That's
and that kind of just says it all about, you know, if we get rid of guns, there'll be no crime. Except you get rid of guns.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the many cores of my gun death files that I do at my blog is that, you know, not only does it show just how, you know, cold-blooded and single-minded the anti-gun people are, that, you know, only gun deaths count, but also saying that, you know, their magical utopia, as I said, anyone, the people who want to ban guns are the people that call the dark ages the good old days.
Oh, yeah. It's like, we make it so that the elderly can't fight back, but that's for the greater good.
Yep. If you're old and can't afford to have a whole bunch of young people coming around, you know, hanging around behind you with swords, you had no rights. If you're a woman, you had no rights. If, you know, if you're ill, you have no rights. If you just happen to be the little guy, you have no rights.
Heck. You happen to be, even if you're young, fit, and strong, and you're alone, and you come up with, you know, even three guys, you got no rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds like a paradise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
sounds suspiciously like an inner city.
Might equals right.
Yeah, it worked so well during the Middle Ages.
Well, you see, you know, it's a whole new aristocracy idea where it's okay for us to have the guns or for us to have our private security.
Sure, because private security is expensive.
And that's the core point, because, yeah, police, military, and private security are always exempted. Even corporations can hire triple canopies or whatever the other, you know, different defense contractors, and those guys can come through with machine guns and helicopters and all sorts of good stuff.
Yep.
I can't afford them.
I do love the old ads you see sometimes of the Thompson submachine guns, where they were pitching them to companies for employee relations.
The greatest invention for employee relations is the cat of nine tails.
Well, hell, that was the whole point of the NSA. It was a $200 tax for every transfer, every time you made them, in 1930s dollars.
Yeah,
yeah, it's something like ten grand these days.
Yeah, Thompson at the time sold for like $28 or something. It was.
Oh, but it's not a ban. Yeah. And that's the thing where it's like, oh, look at that, the power to tax, destroying civil rights and free choice. Look at that.
Yeah.
I think the Thompson was north of $100. I think that was one of the big issues, is not a whole lot of them got sold before the military picked
them up. Yeah, they were really pricey. But still, you have a very pricey subgun that's still at about half of the tax.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the whole thing too was that's why they got used by the prohibitionists, by the bootleggers, because they had the money, because the government created an artificial market. The government
they had the guns because they stole them.
They could buy them.
They could, but most of the time they were stealing them from the police armories,
or just buying them. You know, like in Mexico.
Or just given to them by the police. I mean, the St. Valentine's Day massacre. There were several uniformed police officers. No word of whether they were real uniforms and real cops or what. But they probably were real cops that were part of the assassination.
Well, that goes back to the old bootleggers and Baptists.
Yep,
you're all on the same side.
Yeah.
Anytime we try to fuck with the market just fucks right back.
Well, it's like the old thing about how the internet treats censorship as a failure mode and roots around it.
Well, that's
the market does the same damn thing.
It absolutely does. Look at what happened in the Soviet Union, where, you know, they tried everything they could do to screw with the market, and they couldn't. You know, the market still. Even in the Soviet Union, the market still existed.
Right.
It was totally fucked up, but it still existed.
Yep.
Yeah, at the start, they actually tried to run accounting systems and budgets that didn't use any numbers or money. even for internal tracking, tried, oh, yes, we don't need money at all. Yeah, that didn't last very long.
Yeah. What was interesting, yeah, another interesting thing that I just kind of got shocked. I was doing a wiki wander yesterday and just ended up in just a, you know, in a random fashion in the drug trafficking Wikipedia page, and there's a header there for tobacco, and I didn't even think much about it, and went, oh, I wonder if that's for like the various nations that have banned tobacco, and so there's a black market. No, they were talking about America and
taxes
and Europe, because where you tax it heavy, and so you
tobacco smuggling out of Canada is a huge business.
Yeah, it's something you get to New York City and the taxes on a pack are 10 times what the tobacco companies will make.
Yep.
But you see, it's okay when the government profits from the evil addictions.
Yeah.
Well, you can look at the same thing with gas. I mean, what the government gets, how many, 20, 30 cents a gallon?
I think it's like 50.
Yeah, well, they get.
I think it's close to 50, and the oil companies make about a nickel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah, the evil oil companies. Huh. So that means the government is like, you know, what? 10 times more evil than.
Yeah, that's skewed.
Than the oil companies.
Well,
it's different.
Call coming from Miguel. Miguel's calling in.
No, he didn't.
He said he is in chat.
Well, he hadn't yet.
You better.
I got Dennis sitting on hold still.
That's all right. Serves him right for calling in early. Consarn it.
Actually, you should have him tap in on his Skype if he's got access to it.
Actually, that would be better.
Because that would be better, because you got the delay on the call. Remember the time I called in? That was pretty miserable. We can just grab another host, because we are light one.
Yeah. Let me. Well, thanks for calling in, Jack.
Yeah,
the Jack.
All right. Yeah. The thing is, we need another host that looks good in a bikini, and Dennis ain't it. Yeah. Love him like a brother, but.
Hang on, let me. Hey, Dennis, you still there? Dennis? Oh, it ended. Oh, well.
That's it. That's it. I'm getting out of here.
Sorry, Dennis.
He'll be back. They all come back.
Well,
hey, I think now would be the time to bring up the cops who knocked on the wrong door, because that was quite the heated discussion.
You want to do that now or after Dennis calls back?
What's that?
You want to do that now or after Dennis calls back? Because I think we might spend a little time on that one.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't care one way or the other. I'm just here to talk about shit. I don't care about the rest of you guys.
Well, I guess we can talk about that, because something, Dennis fell off the planet or something.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
we get people to call in on that.
Yeah. So anyway, why don't you go over what happened for the listeners?
Oh, now where did it take place?
It's Dennis calling back.
It was Florida, actually.
Was that was Florida too? I thought.
Area code 865. Is this Dennis again?
Yes, it is.
Okay, sorry, man.
Dennis, that's we're okay. Sorry, Alan hung up on you.
I tried to take you off hold and it hung up. So
that's quite all right. I had Muzak playing through the speakerphone and I was listening over the net and heard what happened. So I called back in.
Cool. Hey, you wouldn't happen to have Skype by any chance, would you?
Not installed, but I can install it inside of four or five minutes.
That's too much effort.
Nah, too much effort.
Yeah, Al will just hang up on you a couple more times.
That's right. It's fun. It's more fun that way.
Just random. Click.
So anyway, this is the reason.
I was going to say, so the cops were chasing a guy that they suspected for murder, and
he drove into a pretty large apartment complex, and saw that the motorcycle the guy was riding parked in front of a an apartment unit. So they said, "Oh, he must be in here." So they walked up to the door, did not identify themselves as police officers. I assume that they were in plain clothes, and they pounded on the door at 1:30 in the morning, and the guy answers the door holding a gun. They say allegedly he had it pointed at them, but you know they're also the ones
with the wrong fucking apartment.
Okay, yeah. I think I have Dennis on Skype now.
Yeah, the only thing is I got to find a let me hang up. I got to find a microphone.
Okay.
What would a squirrel report be without technical difficulties?
Yeah, I know. They knocked on the door.
The guy answered the door with a gun,
which is perfectly reasonable when somebody knocks on your door.
Not the right thing. They also go into his apartment and allegedly find drugs and drug paraphernalia.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that could be what they had in their throwdown pouch. That could also be something so simple as he had a couple of stems and a couple of seeds and some zigzags. But did they actually find the guy they were looking for?
I don't know if they did or not.
They never found
the actual murderer. Except for when they found themselves actually committing murder.
Officials said the deputies did not identify themselves because of safety reasons. What the fucking fuck? What do you mean you didn't identify yourself as a police officer out of safety reasons?
I have.
You think just pounding on somebody's door is going to be safe? I mean, if this guy had hunkered down with a shotgun and wait for them to kick the door in, they may have been the ones dying in a hail of double-odd buckshot.
Yeah, I got lots of problems with this
thing. You know, I mean, if rather than going over to the door and just opening it up and being, what the fuck?
Well, in the first place, they didn't see where the guy went.
They saw the motorcycle in front of or near his apartment and just assumed.
So they're no longer in hot pursuit. Right? So normal warrant rules kind of apply at this point.
Yep.
You know.
Normal warrant rules are we don't need no stinking warrant.
Yeah, exactly. This was pretty much a textbook study in everything that can go wrong, and yet the cops won't ever face any punishment.
No, they won't, and that bugs the crap out of me.
They'll be placed on administrative leave, so they'll get a paycheck while the investigation goes on.
And then eventually says, nothing happened.
Yep, they were following procedure. You know, we regret the incident.
Yeah, I've said before, but this one really is particularly egregious. I mean, we've had so many incidents here where, you know, cops fuck up and kill somebody that didn't need to be killed.
The cream of the crop is that old woman in Georgia where they either got the address wrong or they got a bogus tip from an informant.
I think that was a bogus tip.
Well, these are inexcusable things. I mean, this is in none of these cases did somebody have to die. You know, they're just trigger happy, and they all know that nothing's going to happen to them.
Yep, exactly.
You know, we need to stop this qualified immunity bullshit. And you know, cops are civilians. There's nothing special about cops. I'm sorry if you're a cop. I have friends that are cops, and they're the ones I know are great people, but they're just people. You know, when they're out there acting, you know, as cops, you know, they should have a higher standard that they have to adhere to, not a lower standard.
I mean, simple. If I fucked up at my job in such a magnitude as this fuck up, this is about the biggest fuck up you can do. You cost someone their lives.
Right.
I screw up at my job. Somebody doesn't get what they need. They're inconvenienced. If I screwed up that bad, I'd be fired.
Or even an instance of the if the guy if the guy at the in the internet cafe instead of shooting the instead of putting pills in the teens, he popped.
Oh, yeah.
he jerked the trigger and went way right and hit the cashier and hit the lady with her hands. Yeah. In
he'd be
and
he'd be in the guys. He'd be in jail for manslaughter right now, at yeah. least. Hey, we got a call. Area code 978. You're on the
Hey, air. Alan. This is Boar Patch.
Hey, Boar Patch.
It's Boar Patch.
And Jay. That, hey, I just want to say code, that you...
That area code looked familiar.
I just want to say that you guys have developed a fabulous, fabulous call-in internet radio program, but you didn't do it. Someone else did.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We didn't make the score report. The government did.
That's right. It was Obama.
It's exactly. Barack Obama's
airwaves. That's all. I was just calling to say that.
Thanks.
Yeah, fuck us.
Yeah.
We didn't build anything.
Hey, you know, rock on, guys.
We suck. Thanks, Boar Patch.
We're just riding Obama's coattails.
That's right.
By the way, Jay, the government made those sack lunches.
Yeah. You didn't do that.
That's right.
Well, that actually reminds me, as Rob was saying today, that he was getting a whole ton of traffic from a scrapbooking website that someone had found his razzing on the you didn't build that mem, and we're all discussing it, and he didn't link to the site, so I don't know I don't know what the discussion was and how it was going, but it's just my general thought is that everyone's built something, whether it be a blog, a radio talk show, they built their house, something like that, and they're proud of it. My uncle built his house with his own two hands, and he ain't afraid to tell people about it. He's not ashamed of it. He's proud of it. He built a beautiful house, and to have somebody say, "No, you didn't build that," or Dennis,
you didn't build that.
Yeah, or Dennis with his business saying, "Oh, you didn't build that."
Speaking of Dennis, he's on Skype. I don't know if I can hear him though.
Dennis? You got me?
Oh yeah, there you gotcha. Are. Cool.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out here waiting.
Okay. Well, it sounds we're talking about your topic.
Yeah, I'm segueing into you, Dennis.
You go. Yeah. Thank you very much for the invite, gentlemen. Yeah, I definitely, when I saw that, I think I waited a total of 30 seconds before I put a post up on Facebook going, "Oh, really?" and the funny thing is that people are trying to go ahead and...
I could hear.
People are trying to go ahead and say, "Well, really, what he meant was..." No. He meant what he said. And the thing is, he went off prompter. If he stood on the teleprompter and read the script that they wrote for him, everything would have been fine. But he went off script and he decided to ad lib, and those were his true colors. I built this business. My grandfather taught me how to use my hands, as I put in my post. My dad taught me how to use my hands, how to use critical thinking. If you got two pieces of wood and you want to make something out of it, you cut them this way, you put them together, you think through a problem and you do it. I wasn't taught leatherworking, but I was taught woodworking. I knew how to go ahead and repair sails for sailboats and, working with heavy cloth. And I applied that into the business and there you go. But yeah, that just rubbed me completely the wrong way. The amount of money that I have invested in the business and the amount of time, lost sleep, worrying how I'm going to pay bills when I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul to get the thing started. Yeah, don't tell me that somebody else helped me.
You wouldn't be able to ship goods if it wasn't for the series of roads and other, the mail. Come on. Stop being so selfish, Dennis. You couldn't advertise without the airwaves.
Here's the thing.
Well, that doesn't matter.
That's the real beauty. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that your taxes go to pay for that, that you've paid for that your entire life. It doesn't matter. You're not successful because you depend on those roads being there. You know, we should be thankful that we live in a civilized – yeah, I mean, that's what he's saying. Be thankful you live in civilization.
Well, actually, you know, I don't – no, no. Back in the day, before the government went ahead with the Eisenhower Interstate System, most roads were owned by the county or the town, or they were private. Back in the early founding, toll roads were privately, you know, roads were privately built, and people would charge a toll to ride the turnpikes that they had built to go from town to town. You know, it was private. The government decided they're going to step in and they're going to pave them and make them even better because, you know, the private roads were full of ruts and there was mud and, you know, potholes and gravel. And it was never, you know, nice and smooth. And so they decided they were going to step in and do it and tax you for it. And they really took the livelihood of private road ownership away from the citizens. You know, there's more examples if you take a look in private toll roads going in and out of Boston and going through Massachusetts than any other colony or
They were all over the place.
You know, so the government stepped in and said, you know what, we can do this better. And then you get the big dig, you know.
Well, look at the corollary, of course, you know, all the people that go, oh, well, you know, you can't have private people can't own roads. The government has to do those. All you have to do is point to the railroads.
That's right. The railroads are roads privately owned.
Yep.
Now, and, you know, the railroads are not only are they privately owned, they've got right of way.
Yep.
And easements. They got all sorts of rights. You know, they can cut right through – the railroad has the right to cut right through your property and say, we're going to rent this from you for, I don't know, $1 a square foot, and that's all you're going to get. And according to laws that are on the books, they can do that.
Well, it's mostly because they – I mean, in – you know, it – the government made it easy for them. You know, they gave them land grants and all that kind of stuff. So it's not, you know, it's not like they had to go out and buy the land to make the railroad, you know. So it wasn't a purely, you know, Wookiee suit libertarian, you know, effort. But still, it was, you know, it's still a private. And even the, you know, even, you know, people go, oh, yeah, what about Amtrak? Well, you know, Amtrak is, you know, the vehicle is owned by the government, but the track isn't.
That's correct. The track is not. But, you know, and really, getting back to the, you know, his poll statement, like I said, 30 seconds later, I had something posted on Facebook. And the thing that bothered me, I think, the most was Romney, as a candidate, didn't pounce on it. And he had to be prodded. And it took him at least a day and a half or two. Now, I don't know if that was because his handlers and his staff and his writing team were trying to write it and vet it and make sure that he wasn't going to put his foot in his mouth when he came out, you know, and said something. You know, they didn't want to jump the gun, I think, and I realize that, but they really could have reacted a lot faster because they were handed a plum. You didn't do this. Somebody helped you. This is you did not build this business. Oh, come on.
I really hope that they have that statement and Elizabeth Warren's statement next to in Romney's ad. I think that'd be perfect because he's using socialist claptrap. It's not even his socialist claptrap. That's what gets me the most.
Well,
he's got to crib from fucking the junior senator wannabe from Massachusetts. Pocahontas is who he's stealing his material from. Are you fucking shitting me?
Hey, who'd he steal hope and change from, Jay?
Taxajawea? Come on.
he's all about cribbing material from political B-listers.
Well, I mean, look at his Veep, Joe Biden. Come on.
Yeah.
he picked Joe Biden for a vice president just to prove he doesn't really need one.
Now, well, you know, and just to I want to circle around and segue back what you were talking about. In Florida?
Yeah.
You know, and this is where, you know, thank you, President Obama. You know, no, you did not build this business. It's people like me who will look at that old man and go, okay, what kind of gun did he use? It came out that he was using a Taurus TCP.
Right.
You know, let's market it. I'll bet you that somebody is going to say something or post something or make a really clever little cartoon with the Taurus TCP in it, and you're going to see sales go through the roof.
Oh, if I would be very surprised if Taurus didn't sell a shitload of those things now.
Oh, absolutely. It's the gun that saved the internet cafe in Florida. There you go.
I got a better one for you. You know what the internet cafe is all about, right? It's online gambling.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was just like an internet cafe. You go in there, you're Googling and you're reading Nook and all that crap.
No, it's online gambling.
Okay.
So well, the name of the holster? Jackpot. You come out with a chimera for the TCP, call it the jackpot. You will have a billion of them.
And have it in pastel colors like all the old folks in Florida wear that pastel yellow and green and orange.
Yeah.
Get yourself a little embosser with like a little like a computer monitor.
Oh, Jesus.
Bam. There you go. Jackpot.
Hey, we got a caller.
Hey.
Area code 971. You're on the air.
Why, hello, squirrels and squirrelettes.
No squirrelettes.
No squirrelettes tonight.
That's right. She's still working. I saw that on the first.
Yeah.
I should have done that.
Who is this?
This is MDev.
MDev. Okay. Well, you'd think I'd know.
At some point, you're going to learn either my voice or my area code.
Yeah, I know. Actually, you know what? Right. I should.
Hello?
We can hear you. I'm adding you to my contacts.
It's too hard.
It sounded like it went silent there for a second. So, how is the squirrel report going? And have we gotten around to the fact that none of us actually built anything yet?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about right now with Dennis.
Yes.
From Dragon Leatherworks.
Oh, is Dennis on? Good. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to call him while he was on.
He is on.
He's on. He's on fire, baby.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, you should know that as of right now, I'm wearing the holster that you just built.
Okay, I don't know online monikers, a real name, and it'll come right to me.
Or just tell us what the holster is.
You built me a talent for my M&P, and I've got the one with the vicious circle imprint in it.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Are people still ordering those, Dennis? The VC?
Yes, actually, I just shipped two of my Quantums today that were done up with the VC logo, and I've got three or four more holsters that need to ship in August that are carrying the VC logo.
That cracks me up.
That's awesome.
Actually, one fellow that I shipped today, that holster with the VC logo is going to the Philippines in a week. He's taking it with him.
Wow. We're international.
We're bad. We're nationwide.
Well, you know what? I wonder if it's going to China because Philippines is kind of close to China.
Kinda. No, it's not going to China. He's taking it to the Philippines.
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but
it's about to get ripped off. We're going to be able to get a Dragon Leatherworks for like $5.
Right from Hong Kong.
In China they're using political dissonant leather and they're embossing it using what was that shit that was in the baby food?
Melamine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, they'd be embossing it with lead, you know, from all of their children's toys.
Well, good. I'm glad that I'm glad Vicious Circle still lives in some way.
Right. They're going to be making their holsters from elephant foreskin. It'll start out as a holster for a TCP, and you know, if you rub it, it becomes a holster for a judge.
Oh, hey, that's the next inlay I want.
Well, that's what they say about moils, you know, when they go out and do a bris, they save all the foreskins, and then, you know, you just rub the bag, and all of a sudden you've got a sea trunk.
Rub it a little. It turns into a suitcase.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, that's it. I give you good names and bad jokes.
I am definitely going to use that name.
Awesome. I love it.
Definitely going to use that name. The jackpot. That's fantastic.
No, because think about it. Well, you know, when you hit like a you know, if you're playing the slots, right?
Yeah.
You know, just ka-junk, ka-junk, ka-junk. And what happens? You know, you hear ting, 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 ting. And all of a sudden the lights go off. The people are like, they're jumping around. Well, it's kind of like when a punk comes in and starts waving a gun around and you shoot him in the ass.
Jackpot.
Jackpot, yeah.
Yep.
Jackpot.
That was actually when I first started getting was at that point in my life when I desperately wanted my concealed carry permit, but I lived in a town in Massachusetts that would not give me one under any circumstances. And that was one of my nightmares, is the you know, the convenience store I'm in gets robbed and I get popped one and I'm laying on the floor going, well, shit, having a gun on me would have been nice.
Yep.
Never again will you have that feeling. Thank you. Thanks to Dragon Leatherworks.
And the jackpot.
And Dragon Leatherworks.
Oh, I see how it is. Dennis is on, so you can't pimp my blog, but you can pimp his holsters. Okay.
Oh, you can pimp your blog.
Oh, I know.
You just don't want to.
It's Tactical Tupperware.
Oh, yeah. We know. Yes, that's Tactical Tupperware, in case you didn't pick that up.
Hear it the first 20 times.
Yeah.
By the way, Dennis, how's having your own FFL doing for you?
It's interesting.
How many fully automatic weapons have you ordered so far?
None.
Darn.
Because I can't. Not as a class
he's,
one.
He's not an SOT.
I'm not an SOT. It's just a plain old class one. It's interesting. I never really realized until I got the license how much paperwork the ATF throws at these people who, you know, I mean, you walk into a gun store, you fill out the 4473, and these guys are, you know, and they're behind the counter doing their job. But all the bookkeeping that they force you to do, and you can't go electronic. You have to request a variance and a waiver to use computer software. They force you to use the AND books where you handwrite everything and it's hard copy paper.
Right.
You know, and I didn't realize. I thought that was going to be easy. I'm just going to go ahead and build a little Microsoft Access database, put everything in there. And the guy's like, oh, no. When he came and did my interview, he goes, you got to ask permission for that.
Yep.
You got to be kidding me.
Do they actually grant permission for it? I mean, is it pretty easy to get that?
No.
No.
No, it's not.
Oh,
you got to be a pretty good sized store doing a pretty good sized amount of business for they'll
exactly. Do that. You've got to have so much volume coming through that the paperwork would basically take too much effort and eat up too much of your profit, because you got to remember the ATF really is, and I hate to say this, they really are there to make sure that if you're getting your license, you are in a business that's turning a profit. The whole thing with me getting one, and I'm working out of my home, out of the in-home business, that was a sticking point, and I had to get a lot of paperwork from the county and from the town and file that, because what they try to do is get away from what they used to call the old kitchen counter FFLs.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, to actually get a license, because they don't license the person. They license the location to sell firearms. So they actually licensed a private residence to sell firearms when they gave me my license. that was, and he told me, he says, maybe one out of every 75 that we get will actually approve for this. And the thing that sold it to the agent that came over and did the interview, and he recommended that they give me the license, was that I've already got an established holster business, and part of why I was getting it is for those guns that I can't go ahead and get a model for, someone can now from any state in the union send me direct a firearm, and as an FFL, I can receive it, and I could send it back to them. I can build them the accessory, the holster, and there you go. So in that respect, that is enhancing my business, and I am getting the license in order to make more of a profit in the business. And right. That's really what got the approval. If it wasn't for that, they would never have given it to me.
Somebody having a good time there somewhere?
Well, what?
I hear Jason. Somebody spanking something. In it.
It's not me.
Not me today. Right, I don't know.
That's interesting, Dennis. I didn't realize that that would be the only reason that they recommended you be approved for it. I know that they really cut down on these days. You almost have to have a commercial space to get a FFL. They
absolutely
almost to a man will not allow it, if it's just your house or something.
Correct. And because, like I said, because I had the holster business, and when I explained, he said, why are you getting it? Because we don't license residences.
Right.
And he actually did the interview in my shop, and I laid out where I was going with it and why I was trying to expand the holster business. I said, you know what? I'm going to be selling guns out of here. It's not only for the holsters, but really, now that the holster business is going, I need a way to service a larger clientele.
Right.
And Blue Guns only makes for the popular military and police style firearms and small backup arms. If I can't get it in Blue Guns, or there's a guy that makes aluminum casting somewhere out in Minnesota, if I can't get it from those two, I'm hosed and I got to turn away work.
Yep.
And the agent was very understanding, and to his credit, God, this is going to sound bad, but he really did instill a little bit of faith back in me that the ATF is not all about just trying to make themselves look good, do some gun running to get more tighter laws and take guns out of our hands. There are some agents that work for them that really do see their job as it firearms as a business. And if you've got a business and you're trying to use that to expand it, they are what's the word I'm looking for? They're very receptive to it.
Well, it's like anything else. The problem is more the agency than the individual agent.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sounds like you had a very, very good experience. Of course, the ultimate statement is why the hell do you need a piece of paper to sell somebody a firearm?
Well, because the ATF says so.
Right.
I mean, that's
what I'm saying. Is it just there's that fundamental issue as well?
Well, back when that happened, we didn't when they instituted the ATF and the GCA 34 and all that, we didn't have Heller and we didn't have McDonald.
Yep.
Correct.
And also, I mean, the bottom line is why do they institute all this with the ATF? Well, because they ended prohibition and the ATF.
Yeah, they had a bunch of revenue agents that needed jobs.
Well, yeah, and so it went from the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco to alcohol, tobacco, and things that go boom.
Right.
And like I said, the paperwork that's involved really opened my eyes to what these guys that have the brick and mortar stores that really do a lot of volume, like here we have Coal Creek Armory, Tam used to work there and it's famous because of Tam. You've got Cheaper Than Dirt. You've got all these, online sellers, Lucky Gunner, all these places that, that have firearms outlets. There's a lot of paperwork and every I has to be dotted.
Yeah.
And
don't you dare make a mistake.
Yeah, if you make a mistake on your A&D, on your acquisition or disposal book, you know, there's a certain procedure for striking the record, initialing it, writing it in again, doing it the right way. I mean, it's really, you know.
Yep.
And
I had a, I mean, not to interject any, Dennis, but I had a buddy that worked for a FFL, and they got dinged because they had somebody who walked in, started filling out a 4473, and then walked out without completing a sale. But the 4473 got filed, and they got dinged for each and every blank space because they didn't cross it out and, you know, void that form properly.
Oh, absolutely, especially if you file the 4473. And by regulation, as soon as a 4473 starts being filled out, you've got to file it, even if
yeah.
you don't fill
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, and that's what happened. Is somebody started filling it out and then kind of said, you know, whether he was prohibited or just got scared or whatever, whatever that story is, no sale happened. And they didn't void that form properly, and they got dinged. I mean, it was, I think it was a pretty sizable chunk of change because it was each box that they dinged them for.
Oh, yeah. You know. Oh, yeah. There's a certain procedure for logging it as an incomplete 4473, and there you go.
Yeah.
What I found funny was I just got a stack of 4473s. When they send you your license, the first thing that comes in the mail is the license. And the funny thing is that it's not signed, and they send it regular mail. No signature required, no nothing. If somebody went into my mailbox, grabbed it, and then put their signature on it, that's a valid 4473. They can use it anywhere. It just came in a, it just came in a regular, it just came regular first class.
I did not know about that.
It came regular first class. It did not require any sort of special signature or anything. And then what follows is your reg books and your basically your starter pack where you get a stack of 4473s, all your basic forms that you need.
Yeah.
I got a stack of 4473s, and now those are already obsolete. Because of box number 10 is now box number 10A and 10B, where they're asking your ethnicity and race, not just race.
Oh, I just heard about that.
Yeah, I did too. What the hell?
Yes.
Why do they care?
Do you have to order those from the ATF, or can you go print them online?
Oh, you can. They actually have downloadable PDFs. You can make copies. There's nothing that stops you from making copies of them. But the ATF, you can order everything from the ATF. There's a big business in acquisition and disposal books, your A&D books. That's a huge business. There's more people that do book binding and make memo pads and all that kind of stuff that actually sell A&D books.
Darnells. That's where I got mine.
Yep, yep. And, you know, and like I said, it's the paperwork really opened my eyes to what somebody has to go through. And here we go back again to, yeah, you didn't build that. Thank you very much. What you got to go through to keep the business viable when you're selling firearms and to make sure that you pass every inspection when the ATF comes and looks at you. There's a lot of work involved.
I always wondered why they added that race thing on there. I mean, everybody has to remember 4473 does not go to the government. It's filed.
Yeah, right.
It's filed
right.
in the store.
Right.
It's filed in the store, but here's the kicker. It's filed in the store. If there's ever a question.
Sure.
When the ATF comes and does your inspection and you fail your inspection and they decide on the spot, and they can decide right there, you know what? Hell, we're shutting you down.
Right.
They put your license right there. You own all the firearms. They're yours. You can't get rid of them. They're officially yours. They take your A&D and your 4473s.
Right. And if you go out of business for any reason, they do that too.
Yes. You have to send them all to all – you have to
Which
send them into the ATF. Kind
of like backdoor registration. I mean, sort of, kind of.
Right. So, you know, in that regard, the 4473 really was made for traceability. If there's a question of who bought this firearm with this serial number and there's a bulletin goes out and when there's a bulletin that goes out, and I'm starting to get them now through the Tennessee instant check system. When a statewide bulletin goes out and they say, okay, you know, we've got this firearm that, you know, stolen and, you know, you can see the numbers, you check your A&D books and then the A&D book references the 4473. You pull the 4473 out of the proper spot in the file, and you see who came in and actually bought that gun or tried to trade it in, or, you know, anything that you had to do a background check for. It's the FFL is really the guy who they look to say, what happened here? Show us the paperwork so we can, you know, connect the dots or complete the trail, the paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. And now with the Fast and Furious thing, I can see why they did the, what was your ethnicity? And it's a simple question. Are you Hispanic? Yes, no. That's all it is.
Hispanic, do they have an ethnicity code for meat popsicle?
Well, it's actually, are you Hispanic or non-Hispanic?
I am a white Hispanic meat popsicle.
You know, I mean, you know, but where do you, the thing is that where do you define, like anything that's on that form, where do you define Hispanic? 50%? 30%?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, you know, was born in Guatemala.
You're 1/32nd, you know, like Elizabeth Warren claimed.
Like Elizabeth Warren, yes.
Bring back the one-drop rule.
the tar brush.
I was just thinking that, but I didn't want to say it because I was in the public space.
Indeed.
That's all right. I'll
so
say it.
So much fucking. They polluted the bloodline.
Crazy.
That's right, Jay. The next time you buy a gun, you're gonna be doing some head scratching. What am I?
Yeah.
Shit, the hell am I?
What are you, Jay?
Well, it's July or August. I fit into one category, and if it's the middle of winter, it's really another.
Yeah, but you know, Dennis, all of that talk,
yes.
You didn't build that.
You didn't build that.
That wasn't you.
Obama built it for you.
You didn't.
You know,
you
I'm
didn't
just
like Rob.
You know, I'm just sitting here smiling because I'm not going to answer. I would just go ballistic.
Well, that's what we're here for.
I got one question for you.
Rick said that he was trying to mean something different. Oh, he didn't mean it that way. He meant something totally more benign. And those are the exact people that were nodding their heads like it was going to snap off like a bobblehead on a dirt road when he said it, because. Frankly, they haven't done anything ever either, and they hate people like Dennis.
Yep. Oh,
well,
especially
you know,
like Dennis.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Man can be judged by his enemies. You're doing good.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead, MDev. You had something you were going to say?
Yeah, so the only because I'm really interested in the fact that Dennis has just gone through all this. Do you have to keep, if you have an inventory of, you know, guns or whatever that you're shipping out, do you have to keep those separate from your, you know, personal collection or whatever?
Yes.
Or do they care how they're intermingled, or do you just need to know which ones are on your records and which ones are,
No, absolutely not. Because the premises is licensed, every firearm in the residence has to be in an A&D book, and they have the right to go through the whole resident, every closet, turn over every pillow, look under every bed if they so desire to find every firearm that's in this premises.
Even something you bought from an FFL prior to obtaining license.
Yes, that's why I have two sets of A&Ds. I have a personal A&D and a business A&D. The day that my license actually came in the mail, I made a copy, signed one, and posted it in my shop because it has to be posted in plain view in case anybody comes into the shop. At that point, I had to fill in my personal A&D book with every firearm that I have in the home. Okay? If I want to sell any of them or transfer them to the business, I have to transfer them out of the personal A&D book by putting a notation transferred to A&D book number whatever for the business, and then I enter in the business A&D book that I received it from the personal A&D book. So I actually have to keep very, very specific records, and everything has to tie back to everything else.
Yeah, one thing a lot of people don't realize is when you have an FFL, the property that is licensed – no longer falls under search warrant rules. The ATF can come in anytime for any reason.
Absolutely.
And look at anything.
Anytime, day or night, they can come in at 3 a.m. Yep. And I better not be grabbing the 45 and walking to the door going, excuse me, who is it?
And they don't need a warrant.
They don't need a warrant. They have to knock and politely, let you know who they are. They have to tell you who they are. It's not like they come storming in.
Right.
But
usually,
you hope, right. But I did ask the agent when he came and did my interview that specific question, and he did tell me, he says the way we do it here normally in this area is we will go ahead and arrange an appointment and do it within 24 hours. So we will give you a 24-hour notice that we will be over. We're not going to tell you a week ahead of time that we've got you scheduled, because then you can go ahead and make sure all your books are up to date. And, they want to catch you.
That?
I don't know.
I have no idea. They want to catch you as flat-footed as possible, but they do give you a 24-hour notice.
Right.
Whatever it is, it's coming across Alan's mic because on Skype I see your picture blinking whenever that noise comes.
Huh.
Oh, you might have heard me. I'm checking out at Walmart at the auto checkout thing.
That's exactly what it is. It sounded vaguely familiar.
He's at the Walmart.
The Walmart.
I was just buying dog food and I didn't think my phone would pick it up.
You were buying dog
food? Yeah, it did.
Curse you, Bush economy.
So
yeah, we adopted a dog in lieu of me getting my new shotgun for my birthday. So don't ask how that one went down.
You didn't adopt that dog. The government.
Nice.
Did. Yeah, you Very didn't nice. Do that.
That's right. You didn't do that. The government did it. But yeah, like you said, Alan, it's a lot of people don't realize that premises is now wide open, and my home is now wide open. So
Two words, Bungie sticks. That's all I'm saying.
What?
Bungie sticks.
Bungie sticks. I was thinking more along the lines of front towards enemy.
They can come in, but if they happen to not see the tiger holes.
Well, that's another reason that a lot of people don't get FFLs if they have to do it in their house, because they don't want to open up their house to that kind of warrantless search. Inspection, whatever you want to call it.
Correct. And for me, really, I went into this and I discussed all of this with my wife, and she's, God bless her, she's supported me every step of the way here. This is really just a stepping stone, because within a few years, I want to have a brick and mortar.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yes, I'm definitely going toward a brick and mortar, not to set the holster business aside, but to hopefully grow the FFL side where I can go into a brick and mortar with it and in the back room put up, a small holster shop, hire a couple of people. Yes, of course, I didn't build that.
Yeah.
But hire a few people.
Make sure you thank Obama for building that for you.
Yes, I will thank him for building it for us. To hire a couple of people to actually build the holsters and run a gun shop in the front. Do a holster business there and actually sell them along with all the pre-made models, like, all the Galco and all that other stuff that you can buy. And I was even thinking of doing it in a way that it was suggested to me by Ray Carter, Gay Cynic. He suggested, he says, why don't you go ahead and do it where range, and then on the other side of the gun store, you've got a little coffee shop. Sell some donuts, little snacks, everything else, completely on the other end. Make it a place that people will just come hang out, have coffee, shoot, read a book.
Custom beers.
Wow.
And cigar shop.
Can't do that in Tennessee. I'm sorry.
Really?
Huh. Methadone clinic.
You cannot.
You could call it the ATF.
In the state of Tennessee, you cannot be shooting and be inebriated.
Well,
and I'm sure that selling beer where you shoot is definitely a no-no. It'll never get approved.
Make it all non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, what's the point?
Okay, thank you. But, you know, part of getting the FFL is the whole, you know, laying out the business plan and where you want to be and setting goals. I want, with it, before I go ahead and renew my license the first time, I want to be in a brick and mortar and doing a small gun shop right here in downtown Oak Ridge. There's only one.
Will it glow in the dark?
Yes, it will. Awesome. Oak Ridge does not glow in the dark when you're walking through the streets, but they tell me that when you fly into McGee Tyson Airport and you fly over Oak Ridge, you do see a faint glow.
Huh.
But, you know, I don't know if that's just an old wives' tale. I've never flown over Oak Ridge, but next time I fly at night and I fly over Oak Ridge, I'll make sure to take a look.
What side of Oak Ridge is, or what side of Tennessee is Oak Ridge on? Are you on the Nashville side?
No, it's over on the east side. It's in the mountains.
Right outside of Knoxville.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Just west of Knoxville. Like I said, before my first renewal comes up, I want to be brick and mortar.
Cool.
And there's only one gun store in Oak Ridge, one true gun store. There's only one in Oak Ridge. There's a few that do it like me right now that do it out of their homes. They've been doing it for years, or old guys. They've been grandfathered in. They've got, like, you know, 14 renewals under their belt for their FFL, you know. But one true gun store, there's only one in Oak Ridge. Sweet. So, you know,
there,
I figured
that the only one.
I'm figure that, you know, and he's elderly. He's not elderly. He's in his mid-60s. But, you know, another couple of years.
He's not going to last much longer. You can take him.
No.
Hey, that may be your business opportunity. If he seems like a decent guy, at some point he says, I'm too old for this crap. And you say, well, I have an FFL and I could step in.
Yeah. Actually,
call him out.
Actually, I would have to apply for a second license.
Yeah, because it's
different
location.
Oh, because it's the premise, not the person.
They license the premise, right. Not the person. That's right.
Oh,
yes, that's the kicker. They license the premises, not the person. You know. And he's been really good. You know, I go down there whenever I have questions. I've got some of my holsters up for sale in the store. So whenever I have questions on how to properly read one of the ATF regulations, he'll go ahead. No, seriously, because some of the stuff you read it and it's obvious on his face, plain English, it says this. And that's not what it means.
Nope.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and he's been very helpful.
I bet it's one of those deals where, you, depending on what GTF agent you ask, it means something else too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there's that, and then there's a fair amount of, you know, a yes vote means you elect not to do this. Huh?
Yeah.
whenever they're trying to squeak an override, a tax override through, you know. Remember, a yes vote means you want to turn down the override, and no vote means you want to keep it. Huh?
Yep.
That's backwards. So vote yes for the override. There you go. So everybody votes no.
Well, guys, I'm gonna have to make a bunch of noise here, so I'm gonna have to let you guys go. But real quick, before I drop out, did you guys already talk about the Internet Cafe Florida thing?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay, cool.
We got a new name for now. MDev, you did you read up on what an internet cafe really is down in Florida?
No.
It's actually people go in to gamble online, and that's what it's set up.
Oh,
for.
Okay.
So I told Dennis that he's got the perfect name because the gentleman used a Taurus TCP, whatever the hell it is. Dennis has to come out with a special holster with a computer monitor embossed on it. He's going to call it the jackpot.
The jackpot. Okay, so yeah, the only my only question about that, and it was, I mean, I guess it was figured out because they said they're not filing charges. But to me, looking at that video that has been posted on, it looks sure as hell like he leaned out that front door and fired another shot as they're fleeing.
I was probably worried about a DA eating them alive on that just because it is Florida, but.
Yes, apparently that DA is not a, a Democrat running for higher office.
No, apparently not. I just, I, looking at that video, because I purposely posted my reaction before I read everybody else's, you know what I mean? And I realized that I was the only one saying, hey, is there something fishy here? So, yeah, apparently I'm wrong, and that's fine. But it looks sure as hell like he leans out that front door and pops off another round.
Yeah,
they had left the premise. The threat, you know, the threat had stopped. If you want to look at it that way,
It's hard to tell. I don't know if he actually fired a shot or if he just kind of looked out the door to make sure they were gone.
Yeah, well, you know, that's always been one of my arguments on why I like the idea of, like, you know, the old lever action deer rifle for home defense, because I think that gun choice gets evaluated. I think that if he was, you know, defending himself with a Smith & Wesson 500, they might have looked at that a little closer.
It would have been boom, thud, boom, thud, done. I got three. Yeah,
they'd be more worried about putting out the fire.
Yeah, and stopping the bleeding from people's eardrums.
And the muzzle flash would have blinded the camera.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? There's a reason that my, the lever action 30-30 makes a damn fine home defense weapon. It doesn't get a lot of questions asked. The Mosin that I've tricked out with a red dot sight and a bipod doesn't see much home defense use.
Oh, so that's why. See, I go with the Mosin gun from 44.
With a red dot. That's just wrong.
Hey, it's standard fire engine red too.
Ugh. All right, thanks for calling in, Dev.
All right, have a good one. Get somebody else on the line, and have a good one, and talk to y'all next week.
Thanks, Mike.
That's like the tactical Mosin.
Yeah,
it's down here in Massachusetts.
That's right.
We talked a little bit about the guy in Florida that got shot by the cops, but I don't think we talked about it enough.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
But yeah, I see the argument that I was always hearing, you were going back and forth with Rob for a little bit. And that really got me to say, oh, we've got to have this on the squirrel report, because this is just too much red meat for us not to take advantage of.
Yep.
And you know, the statement is, yeah, I can understand. Holy, I mean, first, smokes. You know, is that, yeah, if the guy did come to the door, and the first thing the cops saw when the door opened was the muzzle of a firearm, you know. They got to do something, you know. Just because you're a cop pounding on the door and you haven't identified yourself and you don't have a warrant and all of that stuff, that still doesn't mean that you don't, you know, that you get to let someone just shoot you. Now, granted, I don't believe any of that, but still, in the end, I think, Alan, your ultimate statement is they were pounding on the wrong door without a warrant at 1:30.
It was their fuck up that put them at that door.
Right.
Plain and simple.
They started the chain of events that screwed it up. I think that's, you know.
And it's tough. It's tough because as much as I will say 1:30 in the morning, somebody's pounding on my door, I'm hunkering down, I'm not doing anything. It's human nature. Somebody knocks on your door, you go and you answer it. This is what you do.
Well, at the very least, it's like you go see what's going on. Right. I mean, it's
speaking as someone who has answered the door with a gun in his hand, you know, it wasn't pointed at the person. It was just there. But are they going to say, well, we went and pounded on this guy's door at 1:30 in the morning. We didn't identify ourselves as police officers. When he opened the door, he had a gun in his hand. So we panicked and shot the shit, you know, shot the living bejesus out of him. No, they're going to say he was pointing a gun at us. And absolutely, if they did an investigation and said, and
interviewed them. Well, why did you pound on that door? Why did you not identify yourself? And they established that, oh, well, we just, you know, it seemed like the thing to do at the time. That was the first door we came to. And they said, not only are you fired, but we're going to call this manslaughter. You would see an end to this.
Oh, yeah. Right fucking absolutely. Quick. They'd make damn sure, which they you know, should. You know.
Exactly.
Or they wouldn't even bother, which is probably more likely.
Exactly. If you're going to pound on my door with the threat of imminent force, which is what it is, you had damn well be sure. You had better be sure enough to stake your job and your freedom on the line. You know, now you tell me the guy ran into that, you know, he ran into that building, you know, into that apartment. Absolutely. They have every right to pound on the door. Why the fuck they don't announce their cops is mystifying.
Yeah, I don't know either.
What do you mean, officer safety? What, are you afraid if you yell out police, they're going to start shooting? Well, guess what? You know, you start pounding on someone's door at 1:30 in the morning, they might start shooting.
Yeah, I question the whole officer safety excuse also because I'm... You know, like I said before, I think the cops need to operate under a higher standard. And frankly, when you sign up to be a cop, an innocent citizen's life takes priority over yours. So if you're gunning down innocent people because of officer safety, you're doing it wrong. And not only that, it's morally wrong.
Correct on both counts.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is I want to know more about this attempted murder. Was it a hit and run? Was it a drive-by?
Yeah, we don't know.
You know, I mean, because there's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. If it was a hit and run where somebody got, you know, I mean, they could be calling anything attempted murder. You know, I mean, it could be the guy pulled up, started firing into a crowd for no reason whatsoever, and... this is a dangerous lunatic they had to follow. Or it could be he plowed into a parked car happened to have somebody in it.
Or he sideswiped a cop or something, you know.
Yeah.
And I guarantee it's not anything crazy because it's just like you've got the guy in Ogden who was growing a few pot plants in his backyard. And so they send in the full SWAT team, you know, high and mighty, even though – the guy was due to go to work, you know, at the Walmarts, not too long from then. So what they could have done is they could have waited for him to go out, get in his car, start riding to the Walmart, and then pull him over and catch him flat-footed. Right. But no, instead they wanted to go in high and tight. But meanwhile, there was a story linked on a drug dealer. I think he was wanted for murder. They knew he was armed to the teeth. You know, he was. You know, this was going to be a pretty serious arrest. And what do they do? They called him up and told him he'd won a free TV at Best Buy. And when he came out, that's when they tackled him. Now, why didn't they send in the black clad ninjas with the armored assault vehicle?
Yeah, he might have shot him. That's why.
Yeah, because they don't want to get shot. All they want to do is justify their budget.
Right.
That's the same thing with this. If this guy had done a drive by with a gun that was converted over to full auto, and you know he had killed a whole bunch of people, and he had known gang affiliations, and this guy was going to be one hairy motherfucker. Do you think they were going to go pound on the door? Or do you think they were going to wait in the parking lot and keep an eye on things and, you know, watch the back window to make sure he doesn't jump out and wait for the goddamn SWAT team to show up?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, we know what would happen. Talking to Brita, and even though she's not here tonight, she made a great point that it's almost like a predator response. You know, like when you run from a dog and the dog's like can't help himself, he has to chase you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of thing. You know, it's like when the cops when they're all, you know, up and they're chasing somebody, it's like they can't stop.
That's true. I had a brother-in-law, ex-brother-in-law now, who was a cop, and he even told me the same thing. It's like when they're in, you know, when they get called out for backup or whatever, they get into that response.
Yep.
And it's just, it's like something clicks and something just takes over.
Well, humans are predators. I mean, it's not, you know, and you've already got some, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you're not a cop because you're a peace loving, you know, flower child.
No, you like to go in there and muck it up.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot of testosterone flying. There's a lot of, you know, and they get to get in one of these situations where they're chasing somebody. And then, you know, it's hard to back off from that. Even when the right thing to do is to back off, which, you know, in this situation, they didn't see where the guy goes. They're no longer in hot pursuit. The thing to do is back off, call support, surround the place, make sure nobody gets out, and then just, you know, at that point, you know, get some backup and do a nice, slow, you know, door to door thing.
Hell, I mean, it sounds like in the news report I saw, it sounds like the guy did in fact go home. He wasn't hiding out in a
didn't know where his home was.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But they knocked on that door because his motorcycle's there. They weren't going to run the plates.
Yeah,
I mean that's exactly the point. Is they didn't stop. They didn't think. They were. It was on, and they were in hot pursuit, and they were, you know, they were going to chase that rattlesnake right into its hole. When really the absolute best bet would be, all right, is to work smarter, not harder.
Yep. Well, and you know, you see this all the time. It's the same kind of thing, you know, where they get they get all armed up and ready, psyched up, and go bust in a house, and they don't bother to make sure it's the right one.
Or in the instance of a lot of these, like, you know, the Rodney King case might be one example, though that's a little bit of a tricky one. But there's a ton of these police brutality things where it's just one of those things of they needed to use force to start with, but, you know, once you're starting to beat somebody into submission, it's awful hard to stop.
Yep.
It's like potato chips. No one can beat just one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dead air.
So, Dennis, drink. Do you think that if John Holmes didn't do as much cocaine, his dick would have been bigger?
You know, I have no opinion on that.
Because you got to wonder. I mean, you know, he was an actor.
I really don't wonder, and I try not to think about things like that when I don't have to.
This is in reference to the guy that was the world record penis that was searched at San Francisco airport by the TSA.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
I just find it hysterical that it
was. Wait a minute, a world record? Okay, yeah. Is it like in Guinness Book of World Records?
He had a suspicious package in his pants.
Yeah, are you serious? And a TSA?
Yeah.
They said to know him, is that a growth on your leg? He says, no, that's my dick.
Oh my lord!
His exact words: no, that's my dick. Oh.
All right. Well, tell me, was it a female TSA agent that said, no, it's not really. Let me see.
Well, in San Francisco, does it really matter?
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go. I guess. No, I didn't hear about that. That would just be wrong. What I found funny, I did fly recently, like about 2 months ago, flying out of McGee Tyson, you mentioned the TSA, flying out of McGee Tyson, they were more thorough flying out of this small little regional airport, Knoxville Airport, when you're going through the TSA line and with the, you know, the back scatter thing and the whole nine yards. And when I was boarding to come back in Newark, New Jersey, to come back, it was the sheer volume of people that inside of an hour after the TSA, you know, they started, all the crowds started in the morning and the big crowds came in. It was just like, yeah, just take off your shoes, walk this way. Thank you. Bye. You know, the amount of effort in Newark didn't match the amount of effort in the small regional airport down here getting screened. You know, because they just have to keep those crowds moving and keep them going.
Well, of course, it just means the people at McGee Tyson are dumb, because it's not like the TSA finds anything ever anyway.
So, no, they don't.
So why work hard to accomplish nothing when you sit on your ass and accomplish nothing?
And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when I flew up to go to the home office for where I still work the day job up in Jersey, I went through here and, you know, I put all my stuff in the little bin and they x-ray it, and they stopped my little bin in the middle of the x-ray thing. And there's, you know, some guys pointing with somebody looking over his shoulder. They call over a third guy and a fourth guy, and they're all looking. They can't figure out what they see. And so they asked me to step aside. They pull the thing over and they're taking stuff out of that little bin that went through the x-ray machine. And then they come to my wallet. And I have a biker wallet. It's got about a 24-inch chain on it. The chain has the leather loop that goes around your belt. And so that way, in case your wallet falls out of your pocket while you're on your bike, you know, you don't lose your wallet.
Yeah. So if it falls out while you're on your bike, it bounces off your exhaust pipe, hits the spokes of your wheel, and it yanks you off your bike.
Absolutely.
Don't forget, looks awesome. Don't forget, looks awesome. I actually bought I actually had a wallet that I built that way back in my punk rock days. That I actually bought 3 feet of anchor chain. That was pretty awesome. It was about half inch gauge steel was what the links were made out of.
So
it was not comfortable to wear around, but it looked awesome.
That's right. It looked awesome. And so they stopped me and they're like, okay, what's this? I said, it's my wallet. And, you know, I ride a motorcycle. This is my wallet. And the chain keeps it attached to my belt. And they looked at it and go, oh, okay. And they let me go with that. Now, the length of chain on my wallet measures not quite 2 feet. It measures 20 inches.
Oh, that'd make you – you could choke someone good with that.
Yeah. Nice Garrett.
You can that's a nice Gary. You can easily choke somebody, and they let me go.
Sure.
You know, in Newark, they're like, you can't take that, and I'm like, it's my wallet. They let me come up.
Hey, Chicago guy was beaten to death, bare hands. They don't make you go on the plane with mittens.
So you okay? You know, so in Newark, you know, even though it was like the lines moving quicker and they didn't look as hard. When, you know, when they went through, they're like, what's that? You can't take that on board. I said, it's my wallet. What do you want me to do with it? You know, and they're like, do you have any checked in baggage? I said, yeah, it's already checked in. It's over there. And it's, you know, and it, after about 5 minutes, it's like, okay, you could take it, you know. But it was, and it was after I explained, hey, I flew up with it. You know, I'm flying back with it.
I didn't find anyone I needed to choke on that last flight. I'm hoping that'll change.
Oh, jeez. You know, but yet, you know, they won't let you take on a pair of nail clippers because you can kill somebody with that.
You know, it really isn't a successful flight until you've inflicted an 8-ball hemorrhage on somebody.
God.
You know, I'm not even going to go there.
Good. Hey, guess what?
What?
We're out of time.
Oh, look at that. You're out of time.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you very much, gentlemen, for asking me to pop on and express my discontent with our president and his statement.
Well, thanks for calling in because we would have sucked even more without you.
The first time you put together a business without the help of the government, let us know.
Yeah.
I will do that.
You know, there's people all over the nation, and this is the big faux pas that Obama made. I don't think he realizes what a big mistake that was, because there's people all over the country that are going, Jesus, I wish I could do this without the government.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
please.
I would sincerely love to do
it. Stop helping.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah, it's like the when the little kid wants to come help you do something. Can I help?
No.
Oh God.
Yes. You know, and if Romney, and I'm not a Romney fan, you know, but he's the only horse we have left in this race at this point. So, you know, it's the lesser of two evils, and he's a lot less evil than Obama. I'm wondering if he's going to have another opportunity like this with another gaffe, and I'm hoping, because he's capitalizing on this one somewhat, and his numbers are showing it. But you really want to be coming down the home stretch with a comment like that, that you can just pounce all over and seal the deal. This was kind of like a little bit too early, and I'm hoping that this is like a preview to another another off teleprompter comment, you know, that maybe Obama's going to get full of himself and do another, go off prompter again. And the next time he does it, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah, I expect a full on narcissistic break sometime before the election. It's just, it's building up that way. I mean, this is
not a gaffe. Do not make that mistake. Right. Obama just happened to tell the truth.
This is the mask slipping.
Yeah, he already can't do a press conference because he can't take questions from the press without getting angry and being visibly upset. So
remember when Bush didn't do press conferences? And they ran like, it has been so many days, weeks, months since George Bush held press conference.
Remember when body counts mattered?
All of a sudden, that just doesn't matter
That's right.
anymore.
Yeah, it's I'm just hoping for the best of November, and he goes out, and then we can replace Romney in 4 years with a real conservative.
Probably
not.
Nope.
You know what? At this point, I would vote for Rand Paul.
Yeah. You know, honestly, with rhetoric aside, I really don't expect that much difference between Obama and Romney. I just don't.
As a Massachusetts rep, I can guarantee no difference.
I mean, the rhetoric might be different, but the...
Not true. The media will pay attention.
That's true. We'll have a media oversight of the government finally.
Exactly. For the 4 years Romney's in, the media will actually pay attention to the shitty polls.
Yeah, they'll vet him.
He won't be able to get away with a fat, you know, and I think I want to say it was Ann Coulter who likened it to, imagine if George Bush had secretly introduced an abortion and what was it?
Introduced a toxic drug to abortion clinics in a means to ban abortions.
By ban abortion.
More dangerous than they were.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Make it seem more dangerous. Yeah. And you know, the coverage or lack thereof. You know, at least President Romney will be scrutinized, because
that's a good thing.
Yep.
Exactly. They must be scrutinized. You know,
Obama scrutinized is to replace him with Obama light. Well, then Obama's getting scrutinized for the next 4 years.
We can only hope. And we got to go.
Okay. Thank you again, gentlemen. Really, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dennis.
It's a pleasure. And have a great evening, folks.
Thanks, Jay. And thanks, Weird. And oh, my fucking God, did we miss Brita tonight.
Yep. But
we miss you, Brita.
All right, y'all.
Good night, Jess.
Have a good rest of your week, and have a good Friday and a good weekend.
You too.
Bye. All right. Oh, crap. How do I shut this down?